Do open your Bibles if you haven't got them open already. Galatians 5, verse 13. And let me pray for us. Lord God, we earnestly desire to live the lives that you would have us lead. To live like Christ. And we pray for tonight, as we look at this passage, for the summer ahead of us, that through it you would do your work of conforming each one of us into the character of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, as Will was saying just earlier, we are doing this series over the summer, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. This is the flyer, so you know what's coming up. And different members of the preaching team are preaching on different ones of the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23 that we just had read. And I've sort of given each of the preachers their choice of which of the ones on the list to pick. I called it "Pick Your Own Fruit," which I thought was very funny. But no one else, well, you sort of nicely laughed because I said it was funny. Anyway, I thought it was quite funny. But anyway, so as we said, next week Marion is preaching on self-control. We're preaching morning and evening, actually, so both at the 6th and also at the 10th. August the 20th, I am preaching on humility, for the simple reason I just looked around and I couldn't see anyone better placed to preach on that subject than myself. So make sure you come. It will be the definitive word on the subject. I'm going to be superb. That's August the 20th. So use this to know what's coming up. So morning or evening, we'll be looking at a different one of the traits. And tonight is an introduction to the series, because for the rest of the series, the preacher will choose a passage to go with the trait that they've picked. And often, not always, but often they'll be from the Gospels. From an incident in the life of Christ, or some of the teaching of Christ that illustrates, teaches upon that particular trait. But I wanted to begin this series with this fruit of the Spirit passage itself. Start with it, so that we might set the whole of the rest in context and in introduction to the rest of the summer. I really think it's going to be a good series, actually, if you're around much over August. And I want to speak about two things from this passage before us. They're very simple. I want to speak on Christian conflict and Christian character. Christian conflict and Christian character. And we'll start with, obviously, Christian conflict. And the two types of conflict that this passage addresses. The first is the sort of major theme of the passage, and the second is related to them. It comes out here and in the wider context of Galatians. Some of you are already smelling a rat. I said there were two simple points, and already you've discerned that my first point has two sub-points. Forgive me, my second point has three sub-points. But look at verses 16 to 17. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. Within every Christian, there is a battle being fought. A war being waged, a conflict between flesh and spirit. Now when Paul writing this says flesh, he does not mean our physical skin and muscle, what surrounds our bones, what's on the outside of our bodies. He doesn't mean that. He means rather our sinful nature. You and I are naturally sinful. We have been from birth. We know that from the Bible, and we see that as we look honestly at ourselves and as we look around the world that we live in. We are naturally distorted. These are nice ways of putting it. We are naturally distorted. We are, I'm sure you may have heard this illustration or imagery before, we're like bowling balls. They are weighted. They naturally curve away from the true line. And so we, within all of us, we have this tendency to curve away from the lives that we should live. To turn away, curve away from God, and to live for ourselves. That's within each one of us, our fallen, sinful human nature, our flesh, which is the word that Paul uses here in this passage. In fact, someone pointed out to me, if you take the word flesh, and I don't know how helpful this is, but if you take the word flesh and you knock off the final H, and then you read it backwards, you read self. It's a total coincidence, but self is, if you like, a good description of what Paul means when he says flesh, our self, our natural self-centeredness. And within every Christian, there is this conflict between flesh, self, and spirit. And when Paul says spirit, he doesn't mean, there's a lot of doesn't means here, just so we really understand what he does mean, he doesn't mean kind of our spiritual side. As if within each one of us there's a kind of tussle between our sort of sinful side on the one hand and our spiritual side on the other. Now when he says spirit, he says the spirit. The Holy Spirit. When you and I became Christians, if you're a Christian here tonight, God sent his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to live within each one of us. He took up residence. He resides within us. And when he did that, boom, the battle began between our old selfish flesh, our self-centeredness, and God's Holy Spirit. The two came together within one person, each one of us, and we're in a battle. Naturally, our desires all lead in one direction, away from God, in the direction of self. But now within us, we find we have the Spirit. God's Spirit. And his desires lead in the other direction. Verse 17. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. This is a battle of desire. And we're going to come to that a little bit later on. Just remember, it's a battle of desire, and it's going on within every single Christian. It's important. This isn't just a sort of a kind of moral conflict within each one of us. That happens in every person, Christian or non-Christian, a kind of moral conflict between choosing what's right and choosing what's wrong, between good and evil. It's not just a moral conflict that's described here. It's a spiritual conflict. It goes beyond just the merely moral. For every Christian, the battle, if you like, is fiercer because of what is at stake and because of who is involved. Me and God's Spirit. My flesh and the Spirit. A battle of desires. Desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit within us. Now, when we hear the phrase there in verse 17 or verse 16, the phrase, the desires of the flesh, what does that conjure up in your mind? No. Don't think of that, okay? I should not ask you to dwell on that for too long. Fleshy desires is, if you like, another word for sex, sexual immorality, because sex is a physical, it's a fleshy act. But I want you to put that out of your mind for two reasons. First, for obvious, and the second one, because that's actually not what's being said here. This internal conflict, these desires of the flesh, are not only about sexual immorality. In fact, even beyond that, they're not mainly about sexual immorality. Look at the list of the acts of the flesh in verse 19. I'll read them. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Now, of that list, three of them, the first three, are about sex. Two of them, the two after that, are about idolatry and witchcraft, about religion, you might like to say that, how we worship. The final two at the end are about, well, drunkenness and orgies. But the middle eight, vast majority, are about relational conflict. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Our self-centeredness, our flesh, makes a mess of many things, in fact, of everything. But it is particularly skilled at making a mess of relationships. This was clearly a problem for the Galatian church. If you look at the two verses that are sort of either side of the passage here, so verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Just as in some ways the internal spiritual battle is fiercer for Christians, so sadly, external conflict is just as frequently a very real problem for Christians and for churches. You only need to look over the history of the church worldwide. You only need to be involved in an individual church for any length of time to know this. And so this passage, and we haven't even looked at the fruit of the Spirit yet. We're about to get there. This is just said in the context. This passage describes two types of Christian conflict: an internal conflict, a spiritual battle between flesh and spirit, and then an external battle that sort of flows from the internal, relational breakdown and conflict described in the middle of these list of acts of the flesh, eight ways that we're very adept at falling out, and then bracketed by this description of a church that seems to be, verse 15, biting and devouring each other, verse 26, provoking and envying. That's Christian conflict. And in the light of this comes this call to pursue Christian character. Christian character. It's a relief after this focus on these depressing reality of where our sinful nature leads us, what it tends towards, to read verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Isn't it it's a rebuke, but also a relief to read this list. This is how we are called to live. It's under these conditions that human beings flourish, that churches grow. This is who we were called to be. This is the character that is to be ours. And if my first point, so I admitted Christian conflict had two sub-points, then this second point, as I warned you, has three sub-points: Christian character. But they're very simple. They're all summed up in the phrase, the fruit of the Spirit. So if you just stick with that, the fruit of the Spirit, five words, then you won't go far wrong. So three things from this phrase, the fruit of the Spirit, about Christian character. And the first is this. Christian character is fruit, not acts. The fruit of the Spirit. You see the difference between verse 19 and verse 22. Verse 19 is about the acts of the flesh. Now, if Paul were being consistent, if he weren't mixing his metaphors, you'd think he would say the acts of the flesh, and in contrast, the acts of the Spirit. But he doesn't. He says the acts of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Acts are one-off. Sudden events. Fruit is something that grows slowly and steadily, but surely. I've mentioned before, and I'm going to have to be careful how often I mention, that I have an allotment just down the canal path. And it's a great time of year to have an allotment at this time, because this is the time of the harvest. Fruit is being produced. But from my children's perspective, certainly, but mine as well a little bit, there is a massively long time between the planting way back in April and the harvest. Frustrating if you're 5. It's actually quite annoying if you're 42. And when you plant, it's hard even to imagine in some ways the eventual harvest. And this, if you're a beginner like me, can lead to some schoolboy errors. Someone gave us back in, I think it was April or May, some courgette plants. Some little courgette plants, tiny little sweet courgette plants. We didn't want to throw any away. There were 3 of them, so we thought, well, let's plant 3. No one needs 3 courgette plants. Even if you're a family of 6. They have been slowly but steadily growing over the last 2 or 3 months, and now suddenly the fruit is here. And I was like, no family needs 3 courgette plants. There are not simply enough courgette recipes to use up the courgette plants that are being produced. Fruit is coming and coming and coming. You can't see the growth of the fruit. So even with a courgette plant that grows quite quickly, if you sit down for an afternoon, not that I have the time to do that, just to warn you, to assure you, but if you sat down for an afternoon next to your courgette plant, you wouldn't see the courgette growing. You can't see growth. But over time, you can measure it. Come back a week later, you go, whoa, a massive courgette. Over time, some fruit is fast, some fruit is slow, but Christian character is fruit, not acts. It takes time. In some ways you can't see it, but over time you can measure it. The fruit of a Christ-like character that is produced. And over time, within you or perhaps within someone else, you think, well, a year ago, I would never have reacted like that. But God has been at work. God's Spirit has been at work. Slowly but surely but steadily producing fruit. Be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Christian characters, fruit not acts. Slow progress. Steady, imperceptible growth. That's the image that the Bible chooses to use when it talks about the transformation of character. Secondly, Christian character is fruit, not fruits. I want us to think about this for a little bit. Yeah, again, verse 19, the acts, plural, of the flesh are obvious. And then a list. Yep. But verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It's almost like Paul's grammar is slightly wrong. Singular, and then a long list. And the point is that all of these things are one. One fruit is being produced. A Christ-like character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on and so on, are all part of the same thing. Just the one fruit. It's different to the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. It's gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, there are lots of gifts, and they're described in the Bible, and they're given to different people differently. No one has them all. That's the point. So some have the gift of hospitality, and some have the gift of teaching, and some have the gift of evangelism, and so on and so on and so on. They're diverse, and they're distributed differently to everyone. So we need one another. But the fruit of the Spirit is different. We are called to all of them. And all of them are part of the same thing. My son Joseph is into collecting Lego cards. They just come out. I don't know if you've been around for a bit. We all, at various points in our upbringing, had cards to collect, haven't we? I remember back the Star Wars stickers and cards and so on. Joseph's collecting Lego cards, and there's numbers 1 to 140, and he's getting them in, and we've got a great list, and we're ticking off the ones that he's got as he kind of collects as many. If you've got any, please send them my way, and I'll pass them on to him. And you know, he's got numbers 1 and 3 and 7 and 9 and so on, and we're ticking off the list. And we can think a little bit like that when it comes to the fruit or the traits of the fruit of the Spirit. We look at this list and we think, oh, it's daunting. Well, I think I've got 1, 4, 5, and 8, but I certainly haven't got 2, 3, and so on and so on. But, well, I'm doing kind of quite well. I've got half of them. But all of these things are one. You can't be patient unless actually you're humble. You can't truly be kind unless you have self-control. In fact, I'd argue that if you do have what seems to be a trait, but not something else, then it's actually not a genuine Christian example of that trait. So just to think about this. So, for example, peace. So I'm a relatively unflappable person. It's not very often you see Will Hunter Smart in a kind of flap and a panic. That was generally relatively calm and steady and peaceful. That may be a fruit of the Spirit or part of the fruit of the Spirit. But if I have peace but no love or kindness, then my peace is not genuine Christian peace. It's just I don't really care about people. So I can be quite relaxed. I'm not saying that's necessarily why you can make your conclusions, but just an example. You could be something, you might come to someone who's very gentle. A very gentle person, but if they have no self-control, or they are not able to be faithful, loyal, then that gentleness is just a kind of temperament, and really that person is spineless. It's not true Christ-like gentleness. Or vice versa, you might be someone who has lots of self-control and you're a very faithful person. Your word is, you know, you stick to your word, but there's no gentleness. Well, you're just arrogant and brutish. It's not a Christ-like character that is being formed within you. God is about forming the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, a rounded, whole, Christ-like character. If you might put it another way, you are only as mature as your weakest trait. That might be something to meditate upon. Read through this list. Where am I weakest here? Because that's the level of my Christian maturity. So, Christian character is, what did we say? Is fruit, not acts. It's fruit, not fruits. And finally, and this is to encourage us, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. If you were to ask me to play music like Mozart played, beautiful, awe-inspiring music that would be part of the canon of music for centuries, there's no way I could, being myself. I would need the spirit of Mozart living within me. you were to ask me to write like Shakespeare wrote, amazing plays that, again, remembered for hundreds of years and performed around the world, there's no way I could on my own. I would need the spirit of Shakespeare living within me. God asks us to live like Jesus. A life, a character of love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And I can. Because God has given me the spirit of Jesus to live within me. It is his work. This is not a battle between two sides of me, and it's not clear who's going to win. This is a battle between my sinful, fallen self and God's Holy Spirit. So take heart and be confident in his work. You are a work in progress, but you are his work. In this, what do? How are we to open ourselves up to the work of the Spirit that he might produce this fruit in our lives? We said earlier, this is a battle of desires. A battle between the desires of my flesh and the desires of God's Spirit. And two things at the end of this passage that we are to do that we might cultivate this fruit or allow it to be grown within us. And the first is that we are to crucify the flesh. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. You have done that. When you became a Christian, you put yourself on the cross. Yep. That's what Jesus said. Take up your cross and follow me. And you said no to myself and yes to Christ. You turned away and you turned towards. You did that when you became a Christian. And the call is to keep doing that daily. To say no to my flesh and its desires and yes to Christ and his. And this imagery of crucifixion, I think, is, well, it's apt in a number of different ways. Crucifixion was a slow death. We know this, don't we? It was lingering. It took hours. It was not just neat and clean. And so the crucifixion of our flesh, this death to ourself, it is not something that happens overnight. It is a process. It's painful. It's not quick and easy. But it is permanent. And we are called daily to say no to the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit, we said, has desires. Just like the flesh, just like myself and my desires, so the Spirit has desires. And we must remember that. Sometimes we might think that the Spirit is a kind of listless, kind of lifeless thing that kind of has no real passions. Yeah, passions are all like evil things, but the Spirit is just kind of lifeless, kind of a bit mundane. But no, the Spirit has desires. We see that in verse 17. The Spirit desires. And what does the Spirit desire? His desire is for Christ. And for Christ to be formed in us. And so he leads us. He prompts us. He makes those desires clear. And we are simply to line up. And to keep in step, as Paul says, with the Spirit. God has wonderful plans for you and me. He desires to conform us into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not an impossible calling. It's one day we will be fully and finally made like him. And in this life we are called to keep in step with the Spirit, to say no to self, and to slowly but surely be transformed. Characters full of love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Let's pray for that work in our lives. Bow your heads. So Lord God, we pray in the midst of the conflict within and without us, there will be those who are people of Christian character. That we would trust the slow, steady work of your Holy Spirit. That we would open ourselves to him and allow ourselves to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So have your way among us, we pray. Amen.